You are Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
It is Locked On Jazz for the 5th of December, coming to you live from Oklahoma City and having absolutely no idea what is going on with the Utah Jazz. It's incredible, and we'll break it down. Plus, they're getting testy in Oklahoma City, and we'll do Tuesday Time Machine. It's all coming up on today's edition of Locked On Jazz. Ba-dum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-pow. How are you? I'm David Locke, radio voice of the Utah Jazz, Jazz NBA insider. Hope you're doing great. I'm sure you are if you're a Jazz fan listening to this. This is your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz, giving you all the expertise, insight, behind-the-curtains look at the Utah Jazz that you can't get anywhere else, plus some geeky stats. Today's show might be a little long. I mean, you just can't stop talking about this team. There's so much to say and so much out there, so I'm going to try to jump right into it. Usually we have three segments. Today we'll probably have a fourth. The way I'm looking at it, there's just so much stuff. We'll break down the Thunder game tonight, and then we'll do our Tuesday Time Machine, which you have not been a part of before. We randomly pull out a year and then look and see what we were doing at this point at that time of this year. So I have my little bag, which has every year the Utah Jazz have existed in. We'll randomly dig in, pull out, and see. I'll tell you what the Jazz weren't doing. They weren't winning five games in an eight-game stretch by 19 or more. I'm not sure any Jazz team has ever done this. I mean, this is just incredible. By the way, today's show brought to you by Murdoch Hyundai. Blake Murdoch and the great people at 4646 South State Street. They got the hidden gem of the car world, the Hyundais. We got the hidden gem of the NBA world right now on offense. It's unstoppable. Also brought to you by the Advocates. As the crew over there with their great system and figuring out how to work best for you, and by Stevens Henniger College. All of them part of today's show. Thank you very much for being a part of today's show. All right, let's roll into this one. And what is going on? I got a just big picture. I'm just flabbergasted. And my wife's kind of making fun of me. I mean, there have been times I've come home this year and been like, oh my gosh, this is going to be the longest season. I can't believe we can't score at all. Holy smokes, we're terrible. You know, when you're leaving Brooklyn, it's like 6-10, and, you know, you kind of get it. You're like, well, you're missing a bunch of players, and, you know, I didn't really feel like anybody was doing anything wrong. I just kind of thought that maybe it was misjudged a little bit, just to rely on, you know, at the time, it was like, yeah, I just don't know if we can, you know, get Rodney going, and the lack of spacing and just too many variables, and like, all right, it's good organization, good people, we're okay. But this, gosh, we're talking now, it's like, are we like one of the three best teams in the NBA? Are we often like, is this sustainable? I mean, that was against a top 10 defense without John Wall, so it's probably not quite still a top 10 defense, but this is insane. Last night, if you're somehow missing it, the Jazz had their third largest win in franchise history. I mean, the numbers are just absurd. The Jazz led the game like by 30 in the first half early. And we're up by scores that are incomprehensible. I mean, it just kept going and going and going and going. You just don't win games by the margin the Jazz did last night in the NBA. That's not how this league works. Like, Andy Larson, actually, at KSL.com, did a good job. He got, like, all technical about it. Like you're not – teams don't – like, teams aren't just a lot better. These are professional athletes. Washington's good. These were the 2-7 seeds going head-to-head last night. These are good basketball teams. These are professional players. You go up 24-15. That makes some sense. And then, you know, I thought the Jazz played the first quarter about as well as they've played any quarter all season long. They were up 25-19, and I was kind of saying to Ron, like, I'm sure I got short memory, and I actually don't have any game recall. And so I was saying to him, like, I'm pretty certain that this is as well as we've played any collective quarter, both offensively and defensively. And we were better in the second quarter. By the way, if you ever want miss a game We have a podcast, Utah Jazz Radio, which has the entire play-by-play in it. Second, only in the second half last night. It's nothing to think. But also, Jazz Game Rewind is about a 7 to 10-minute recap of every game audio-wise that goes up on that and the Quinn Snyder Coaches Show. They're worth getting. It's at Utah Jazz Radio. I just tweeted it out if you want it. Okay, but so we're up 29-15. Then next thing you know, we're up 39-19. You're like, okay, you're up 20 now with 9-20. So you're up 20 in 15 minutes. And it just never stops. You're doubling them up by the 8-minute mark of the quarter. So this is in a span of 14 minutes. Now at the 7-minute mark, the lead was 26. At the 6-minute mark, we've played 18 minutes of basketball. It was 52-21. Washington just won, beat Detroit and Minnesota without John Wall. They were playing really well. Like, what is going on? This is Warrior stuff. Rocket stuff. Rockets, I think, have won like 7 straight games all by 15. And then the Jazz never blinked. They went up 30 at 58-28. And the game never gets inside 30. Like, it's just a straight line up the whole game. They went up 30. Let me say it again. With a minute 30 left in the first half. And the game never got inside 30 again. This is ridiculous. These are against pros. Like, that's what happens when Kentucky plays immaculate word. Right? That's a college thing where it's not fair. These are pros. This shouldn't happen. The Jazz are just a different level right now. All right, let's dig into the numbers, because we always do. The pace of play last night was really slow, 87.8. So we did this in a slow-paced game. Our offensive rating was a 132. That means that the Jazz averaged 1.3 points every time they crossed half court. At halftime, the Jazz had 2 points in the mid-range all game, and they finished with 4. Like, the Jazz have become the Houston Rockets. The Jazz had 2 field goals in the mid-range and 2 field goals in the paint non-restricted last year. Their shot chart, Their shot chart is really smart basketball. Rim three. It's incredible. Offensive rebounding was brilliant, 35%, which is super high. Defensive rebounding was great, 78%. Jazz took 34 of their 76 shots as threes. A beautiful thing. Like, I hope you, I'm assuming if you listen to this podcast every day, thank you. And if you've given a review, double thank you. The reviews are incredible, by the way. Thank you. You want threes. Like, shooting threes is good. The Jazz took 34 of their 74 shots as threes. About 45, and hit 47% again. Some of this is just unusual shooting, but on the other end, what a little bit is happening is the fact that you have spread the ball out enough to guys so that you don't have, you know, Ricky Rubio taking all these shots. I mean, earlier this year we talked about Rodney Hood, Ricky Rubio, Donovan Mitchell, your 3 primary shot guys, and they all shoot 40%. 1 out of every 8 games you're going under that. Well, now what we have is you spread the shooting out enough, and you now have 8 guys shooting 40% or better from 3. Like, how did that happen? Quinn Snyder is a master. Really just stunning. At an early midway point of the first half, I should have written this down. I didn't, and there's no way to find it. Every Jazz player had an assist and a field goal. Every single player on the Jazz now that Alec Burks is moving the ball and that Rudy Gobert is under strict orders to move the ball are ball movers. Tonight, they're going to play Oklahoma City, where nobody is a ball mover. Right? That's going to be an interest. Tonight's contrast, if we have any legs, is really awesome. All right, so let's look at the player tracking numbers last night. There's some other numbers I could give here. I'm trying to shorten this down. Washington did miss a lot of shots as the night went on. Bradley Beal went 2 of 10 on uncontested shots. They went 14 of 49 on uncontested shots. You don't shoot 28.8% without missing a lot of shots. Seventh best field goal percentage defense by Jazz in franchise history. Jazz are on the other end. They got 48 uncontested looks, and they hit 27. Some point, maybe tonight, unfortunately maybe Thursday in Houston, these numbers are got to slide back. Like, the regression to the mean has to happen here at some point. But the numbers are great. Ingles 3 of 5. Mitchell 4 of 7. Rubio 0 for 4. Jarebko 2 for 4. Burks 5 for 8. Royce O'Neal 4 for 5. Howell Neto 3 for 3. Tabo Sefolosha 2 for 4. Epe Udo 3 for 4 on uncontested looks. Some of those uncontested looks were layups because Washington was just so crazily out of sorts. I mean, out of sorts. And the Jazz were great in just about every way. One thing I do like that the NBA keeps is hustle stats, and so I thought I might add those in. Last night we had 14 deflections, led by 3 by Ricky Rubio, 2 by Royce O'Neal, and 2 by Tabo Sefolosha, 2 by Derek Favors. They have a stat called loose ball recovered. Royce O'Neal got 3 of them. The Jazz had 9. Derek Favors contested 12 two-point shots last night. Jonas Jerebko contested 6, and Rudy Gobert contested 8. Or 9, excuse me. Actually, I had those numbers wrong because I didn't count the threes that were contested. So contested shots last night. The Jazz contested 60 shots last night. Washington contested 48 in contrast. I like that. I think we'll add this into the – I think that's a cool little note. So, yeah, 60 shots contested by the Jazz, 13 by Rudy – or by Derek, who was great around the rim last night, 9 by Rudy, 7 by Jarebko, 6 by Sefolosha. So those are – you know, they're doing their jobs. And only 4 screen assists last night. Rudy got 3 of them. All right, those are the look at the numbers. Let's dig. We'll dig in a little bit more, kind of what's collectively going on, and talk about the rotation last night and some of those things. Let me first tell you about my friends over at Murdoch Hyundai, 4646 South State Street. Blake, the crew down there, Dean, all the guys. Really, it's a neat. Neat place. There's a great vibe. Blake creates a great vibe. You walk in, you can feel it. There's a good energy to it. There's the Murdoch Promise, which is the 5-day guarantee, the no regrets. So free car washes for life, extended hours and service to make sure that you have the best experience you have. And as well, then there is the Hyundai car, which is great. And I have been on my mission to sell the Ioniq, and I got the coolest email the other day from Adam. This is so great. This is kind of like makes my day. So, hey, longtime listener, Locked On Jazz here. Haven't been tuning in as much this season due to a busy schedule, but a chance to listen Black Friday podcast on Monday. Have been debating buying a new car with great gas mileage, and lo and behold, I tune into your show and hear you talk about the Ioniq and the Murdoch Hyundai and having 9 Ioniqs left. So I went over to Murdoch Hyundai just to compare the Ioniq to the Prius, which is what I originally considered. Had a great experience with Brandon and the crew there, and long story short, walked out this morning with a brand new Ioniq. Just wanted to let you know. So I actually emailed Adam back and said, hey, Adam, tell me kind of why. And here's his answer. I'm not a car guy, so I made the decision based on consumer reports. I looked into Murdoch after hearing it on your podcast. They had positive reviews, and I saw an ad for 0% financing, which I was approved for. The 0% financing, gas mileage of the car were the major factors for me. The car drove great, but again, I'm not a car person, so I probably wouldn't have noticed any red flags there. Fair enough. That being said, the staff at Murdoch seemed pretty reasonable. I felt like the staff wasn't over-the-top sales-driven, which is what's comforting. That's from Andy. I said Adam earlier. It's from Andy. I apologize. And I don't know if he wants me to mention his last name, so I'm going to leave it out. Or Andrew. I'm not sure which. He signed his email Andrew, and his email came in as Andy. But that's kind of a cool story. That's what I'm talking about. Check out Hyundai. Add it to your brand of cars you're looking for and see whether or not you'll find what Andy did, which is the value's incredible, the service at Murdoch's great, and they're a pleasure to deal with. That's Murdoch Hyundai at 4646 South State Street. All right. Gosh, it's just insane. So there's a collective energy that's taking place. And this collective energy is really powerful. And the first thing that was really interesting about yesterday was that Quinn Snyder made it abundantly clear to Rudy Gobert that he was joining them, not that the rest of the guys, your saviors, coming back. Like, they had earned the right with the way they had played over those 11 games and what they were doing, that Rudy Gobert was now joining them and had to play with them. And that, I think, is a really interesting kind of twist and turn and an important way to look at what the Jazz are doing. Because, to me, that's the eye-opening aspect of where they are, is that they have created a collective energy and a collective juice that is so, it seems, unstoppable. At some point, hey, we're playing Oklahoma City, who is the number four defense in the league tonight. Okay, last time we played a really good defense was Philadelphia, and we couldn't score. And so let's see whether or not, you know, does the same thing happen tonight? There's always a chance. And we're on a back end of a back-to-back with a 3 o'clock arrival. Luckily, we're in a crap city, so it doesn't matter.
This energy, let me read this, what's going on here with this team. Here are the offensive ratings of the last six games.
Remember, 100 is bottom barrel, 106 is league average, 110 or so, 111, 12 is like the elite, Warriors, Rockets. 118, 128, 114, 134. We were better in the Clipper game offensively than we were last night. 118 and 129. That's coupled with an Orlando. This all starts in Orlando, where we start blowing people out. We're blowing people out because we're on an offensive run that is unprecedented. Orlando is a 125, 121 offensive rating. Or Chicago, 118. Milwaukee, 128. Denver, 114. Clippers, 134. New Orleans, 118. Washington, 129. Why? The ball movement is incredible. The shot selection is through the roof, and they're going in. I mean, there's some extent here where this has to end because you have six straight games where you shoot 40% or better from three on over 30 attempts. I've had 30 or more attempts in six straight games and hit over 40% of them. But it's one extra pass. And as Ron says, Ron's point right now is like, hey, guys are getting just wide open looks. Quinn Snyder calls it the blender, where you drive into the lane and you start kicking the ball and drive back in and kick the ball and drive back in and kick the ball, and you've got them spinning around like they're in a blender. He's got them in a freaking Vitamix right now. It is incredible. And it is, and the one difficulty this team's going to have right now is the amount of guys playing well and how you keep them all engaged in minutes and, you know, trade deadline and all these outside factors. Losing in this brutal December schedule is going to start to pick away at it at some point. Right now, as long as it's this collective and it's this successful, that's just not going to be an issue. You just are not going to be able to complain about the fact you're only getting 18 minutes. The question is whether players returning are going to screw it up. Rodney's probably the least good ball mover on the team, along with Rudy, along with Joe Johnson, right? So the three guys that are going to be assimilated back into this group are the three least good ball movers. I'm viewing Alec Burks as a completely new player. The work he's put in, the effort he's put in, and he's evolved into a way that it's just into a player we haven't ever seen. It's stunning. Here was the rotation last night. Favors and Gobert played 3 minutes together to start the first half. They played 3 minutes together to start the second half. 6 minutes, that's it. The score was 7-7. And then we went small immediately. Now that leaves 42 minutes of center minutes to be divided between these two guys. If they divide them equally at 21 and they each get another six, 27 minutes, not going to cut it. Maybe not. Maybe it's going to have to. Rudy right now is at a 20-24, kind of that range, minute restriction. And so
they're not able to, you know, he's that's fine. And it'll go up to 30 here pretty soon. And then maybe holds at 30. So you're going to have to find a way to get Favors some more minutes in there. He's earned it. He deserves it. Frankly, at times, there's going to be certain times where we're probably better with Derek. I mean, he's really good. That's worth taking note of. We're really, really good with him. The other aspects are that, and then Quinn kind of went normal. Without Rodney, Royce O'Neal keeps playing, and Royce O'Neal's playing fabulously. And Alec Burks scored 24 or more for the third straight time, which is the first time he's ever done that. I love the question we got on Postcast last night where somebody said, is this Alec Burks back to pre-injury Alec Burks? No. This is a totally different player who's playing the game so brilliantly right now. The Jazz have blown out 5 of their last 8 opponents. Blowouts are not that common in this league. You know, I'd have to go look. The Jazz point differential, that's a good question of how, like, the Jazz point differential over the last 8 games is just insane. I think the Jazz point differential for the season is now the 5th best of any team in the league. So here's the question. And I don't know the answer, and actually Harp and I were just talking about it. I actually just texted the guys and said, we're on a short little turn, but do we want to try to put together a group podcast today? Maddie kind of was talking today on the plane last night, and I hope he doesn't mind me quoting it, and I was like, I feel like I really know this game pretty well. I don't know what's going on here. You know, is it just a hot little spurt the way Orlando had a hot little spurt and it's going to come crashing down? Is this team great? Like, the numbers would tell you, you start digging into what we've seen here. And again, these are not against good teams. So I think you have to be, that's where I think you have to be reticent and going too far. But you know what good teams do to not very good teams? They blow them out. And that's what the Jazz are doing. Now, is there something where the Jazz, who are not particularly athletic and, you know, don't have guys who can just go get their own shots very well, are more likely to be able to blow out a bad team who doesn't exploit their weaknesses than a good team like tonight when they're playing elite-level athletes at every position? I mean, tonight they're at an athletic disadvantage at probably all 5 spots. Favors maybe is more athletic than Carmelo at this point, but that's a weird one. Right, but Paul George is more athletic than, and Andre Robertson and Donovan are probably pretty close. We're not even talking about Donovan today. He was great. 5 for 5 to start the game. No big deal. Just stunning, stunning work by this team. And I'm awed by it. Absolutely awed by it. The Advocates are a Utah company who is there to help you when in type of a car accident, you need some legal help. Matt and his crew are there for you. They're injury attorneys. He jokes that he and his wife, it took them a little while to get through that concept because, you know, they go to Christmas parties this time of year. What do you do? But then finally his wife said to him one day, you know what you do is you help people. Why don't we let people tell their stories and people will realize what we do. And then the most impressive part about what the Advocates have done is they've turned a craft into it. It's not just chasing an ambulance or something like that. They've built a craft. And the craft is, over 25 years, they've built a 106-step process. And as Matt proudly says, we've gotten better every single time. They swing the ball is what they do. Because what they do is they have different people whose jobs are different things, no differently than like a bullpen in baseball. You got a starter, and then you got the people who can get you the middle innings, and you got the setup guy, and you got the closer. And they have the lawyers who are going to reach out to you and touch you within 24 hours of you calling into the Advocate, excuse me, within 60 seconds, not 24 hours. You'll talk to a lawyer within 60 seconds. And then once they have the case into the system, then certain experts are going to deal with the insurance companies. Certain people can deal with the hospital. Certain people can deal with all the different aspects that exist inside of a case. As Matt kind of astutely pointed out, accidents are different, but the process is the same. The process that they are able to build is their 106-step toward getting you good results, making sure nothing bad happens to you, and treating you well in the meantime. Primarily all auto accidents, cases, and Only less than 1% go to trial and 3% go to arbitration. So you've got to make sure you're going through the system correctly, and you need the help of the advocates because, frankly, the system is more powerful than you and I. The process allows them to have efficiency. Efficiency means productivity, which also means communication with the client, which means expediting the process for you. Experts at each task inside the process. Call the advocates, 801-355-5550. That's 801-355-5550. All right, today the Jazz are playing the Thunder. And Thunder have won two in a row. Billy Donovan was effusive with praise after the last game. There are murmurs that this team is not reacting to Billy Donovan very well. I asked somebody why, and their answer was, well, because they can't blame it on themselves. So we'll see whether that's true. They are the absolute, against the Spurs, they played DeJounte Murray, Bryn Forbes, Derek White, Davis Bertans, Joffrey Laverne, and I think it's Brandon Paul. Is that the sixth guy on that team right now? And those were the guys that were on the floor in the fourth quarter for the San Antonio Spurs. So they got Austin Spurs, and Austin Spurs gave them a little bit of a tough time, crazily. They won it. They evidently feel very good about the fact that they won it because they just need wins. So it will be interesting to see what the Jazz get. These are two teams that contrast in styles dramatically. They are a one-on-one isolation team. The Jazz are the exact opposite. So the Jazz lead the league in drives to the basket right now. The Jazz are taking about 53. That's because we may have just played more games. So that we're the third in the league in drives per 100 possession, which is a better way to look at it. Contrast that, Oklahoma City is 23rd. Okay? We actually play a little bit more ISO than anyone realizes because when we break down, we do end up into an ISO. Oklahoma City plays the most ISO of anyone in the NBA, along with Denver. Along with Dallas and the Clippers, they're at about 20% possessions per 100 of isolation. Actually, look at that. They've slid to third. Here's what's interesting. They've slid to the third ISO team in the league. They rank 20th in efficiency out of ISO, depending which way you measure the metric. The Jazz, interestingly, by the way, are one of the better ISO teams in the league. We're the third best ISO team. Donovan's pretty good. Even though we run one of the lowest rates of it. So when we ISO, we pick the spot, find the mismatch, go ISO. We're 22nd in the league in the amount of ISOs we run, isolations, and we're, the third best in efficiency. When you look at Oklahoma City and the top ISO guys in the league who use the most ISOs per 100 possessions, Russell Westbrook is the eighth most in the NBA. I'm just going to go for ISOs for the season because when you sort it by possession, you get some guys who don't play very much. So Russell's the seventh most in the NBA. Paul George is the 14th most, and Carmelo's the 17th most. Carmelo's really decreased recently. And that's an interesting storyline coming into this game, is how few shots Carmelo Anthony has been taking recently and how he reacts to that tonight. So though they have three of the top 20 isolation guys in the league, if you want to look at the top, what should we look at? The top 100 isolation guys? It's a lot, but it's three per team. Sometimes I actually think looking at the top 50 is almost a better number. But if we look at let's look at the top 100 isolation guys, and we'll probably come back and look at top 50 because there's some guys. The best isolation guys in the league are Malcolm Brogdon. This is why the search isn't great. Darren Clark Collison, Jordan Clarkson, Lou Williams, and Joe Ingles. Again, why this Joe's hitting enough threes. It's the value of that. If you're looking at the top 100, where do the OKC... All right, well, if they're an ISO, that's one thing. Are they any good at it? And you start to search for the OKC guys on this list. Russell's 41st out of 100. Carmelo's 50th out of 100. And ISO's not a particularly effective play anyway. And then you've got to search and search and search to go find Paul George, who's 94th out of 100. Paul George, who should be their most efficient, best offense player, and he's still their best three-point shooter, is at a kind of funny spot where this is just not working for him at all. And that's, you know, that's the struggle that they're going to have. By the way, if you take the guys who have the top 50 ISOs in the NBA, just to isolation, but there's a value to this, right? You at some point have to be able to just go beat somebody. Okay? So if we go look at the top LeBron, James Harden, Blake Griffin, Harrison Barnes, DeMar DeRozan are top five ISO guys in the league. The best are Jordan Clarkson, Lou Williams, Eric Gordon, Kevin Durant, LeBron James. Harden is six. John Wall is tied with him. Kyrie, Victor Oladipo, and Donovan Mitchell is 10th best isolation player in the NBA. It's pretty ridiculous. A lot of that's off his passing off the ISOs, actually. And he's not, you know, Harden's ISOing 13 times per 100 possessions. Donovan's doing it 3. Again, though, out of this group, so now out of the top 50, the guys who do it the most, you've got 3 Oklahoma City players. And they are collectively, Russell's the best. He's in the middle of that. He's about 26th. Carmelo's a little lower. And Paul George is in the bottom 5% of these guys. The worst ISO players in the top 50 in the league are Bradley Beal, wish I had that last night, Joel Embiid, Wesley Matthews, Paul George. And things have gotten testy in Thunderland. The Thunder are the kind of everything has been hunky-dory here. No media's ever kind of gotten on them at all. None of their local media, none of their team media certainly has. Until the other night, when former NBA player, San Antonio Spurs, Seattle Supersonics, Antonio Daniels unloaded on the Thunder. Courtesy, by the way, of Locked On Thunder and Carson Cunningham for this.
When I played this game with passion. I did. So when I am passionate about something, I'm passionate about it. That's me. That's the way I am. That's the way I'm wired. With that being said, there comes a point where guys have to stop talking and start doing. And from the moment that this season began, guys have been saying all the right things. I'm willing to do whatever they need me to do. I understand it's about ball movement. I understand it's about player movement. And right now, this team is about talk. This team is about talk right now. They're not taking anything from the pregame or postgame press conferences and applying it to the floor. And the really, really good teams that I played for, there was something that we always had, whether it's in the huddle, in the locker room. When you go through lulls, somebody has to bring a spark. And I'm not talking about a spark of a dunk. I'm not talking about a spark of something that happens just on the floor. I'm talking about in general. So there are times where there are laws and timeouts where there doesn't seem like there's something to be going on. We had guys in the huddle that were cursing other guys out. There has to be some energy and passion that comes from someone in timeouts after games, whether it's you going to the locker room and coaches are throwing stuff, because frustration brings these sort of things. This is your job. This is your livelihood. And as an athlete, when you are going through times like this, you are representing your community. You are representing your city. You are representing your organization. And it's embarrassing. It is embarrassing that teams continue to have their coming out games against the Oklahoma City Thunder. Dirk Nowitzki has been invisible all year. But then against the Oklahoma City Thunder, he looks like the Dirk Nowitzki of old. Yeah, Aaron Gordon has gotten the lab and he's worked on his game. 40 points and 13 rebounds? There comes a point where somebody on this roster has to take a hard foul. has to get a technical foul, has to get thrown out of a game, has to show some sort of emotion and some sort of passion that will trickle down the line to everyone else. You cannot continue to go out every game and just talk about doing the right things, not do the right things, and expect a different result. Yeah, that's not the way professional sports work.
That was pretty real. So that's where things stand right now. Isolation basketball, questionable whether they're following the head coach. They're great defensively, though. They're incredible athletes, fourth best defensive team in the league, fifth best offensive rebounding team in the league, number one team in the league at forcing turnovers. We're moving the ball like this. They're the number one team in the league forcing turnovers. It's going to be very interesting to see. If we can take care of the ball, not give them those opportunities and keep them in the half court, Jazz have a chance to win it. Time machine coming in just 1 second. You're on your way to work today, and you're not loving it. You're like, really? Next year I start this again? Then maybe Stevens Henniger is the answer. With smaller class sizes, about 9.5 to 1, a narrow focus, flexibility, Stevens Henniger may be the answer for you for the career change, that missing degree. You know more now. You want a little bit better life than what you're getting, and it's hard to figure out what the answer is to how you're going to get out of the hamster wheel that you're on. It's not your fault. It happens, right? You get kids, you got a wife, you got a family, you're busting your ass to try to make sure you support everybody along the way. But this isn't great, and you're not really wanting to do it for the next 30 years, and it's not entirely building the life you want for your family. Then maybe it's a computer science course. Maybe it's something in the nursing field. Maybe it's something in programming. Maybe it's computer networking. Maybe it's HR. Maybe it's business. Whatever it is that fits you better now than maybe the first time around, then Stevens Henniger could be the answer for you. You walk in the door, you're greeted like their family. Let's address the issues. Time. Classes are done in 4 weeks. Probably going to take somewhere, you know, between 20 and 36 months to get it done. They are going to help you out as best you can with the flexibility. 10 hours of class week. Money. They're going to meet with you right away, set up your financial aid planner, set it up. There's no extra charges along the way. I don't have a computer. Okay. They will give you a computer at the 4 weeks, and when you graduate, it's free. They're there to take care of things for you, to build it for your success. Find out more by calling Stevens Henniger today. Or, you know what? Why don't you just do this? Text keyword to 88588. Keyword 8 to 88588. That's keyword to 88588. Or you can visit youineducation.com. That's youineducation.com. Stevens Henniger College. All right, let's play Time Machine Travel. Tuesday Time Machine. Let's go into the bag. I can't believe I traveled this bag. It's like I could have just, I don't know. It's the second one. I wanted to make it really realistic and all that kind of stuff. All right, I'm opening it up. 1984. All right, that's our fifth year of existence. I think Frank's still the head coach. So it's the 80. So 84, this is the first year we make the, so 1984, we're in December, so this is the 84-85 season. We've made the playoffs the year before for the first time. And let's go see where we are on the schedule, who's playing, what's going on. December 5th, 1984, Tuesday, Time Machine Travel. The Jazz played the 4th. They beat the Warriors last night, 107-105 to move to 10-10 on the season. Sounds like a great game. The Jazz were down 10 at the half, 19 at halftime, whittled it back to 16 at the end of three, and outscored the Warriors on the road in Oakland, 41-23 in the fourth quarter for a 107-105 win. What a great win. Pace of play was 106 possessions, so they were playing fast. All five Jazz starters scored in double figures. The starters that night were Ricky Green and Daryl Griffith. Adrian Dantley, Thurl Bailey, and Mark Eaton. John Stockton came off the bench for 15 minutes, had 8 points. Rich Kelly was your backup center. Jeff Wilkins, the franchise, came off the bench to go 1 of 7. Bobby Hansen, J.J. Anderson, and Billy Poults all got some time. The leading scorer for the night that night, the Jazz, 26 for Adrian Dantley, 23 for Daryl Griffith. He was gunning, though. He took 23 shots. Ricky Green had 5 assists and 12 points on the night. Mark Eaton had 10 rebounds, 5 block shots, and 10 points in 33 minutes. And Big T had 10 points, 9 rebounds, a steal, and all-around great effort by Big T. The Warriors team weird team. This is like my, this is my childhood. I mean, I'm growing up in the Bay Area. What am I, 14 years old at this point? Yeah. So the Warriors team, Lester Connor out of Oregon State was Sleepy Floyd. Purvis Short, the rainbow jumper, he took 28 shots for 24 points. He pulled the Al Jefferson. That's why they lost. He took more shots than he scored points as their leading shot taker. So did Sleepy Floyd. So this was scoring out of high possessions, not out of efficiency, that's for sure. Jerome Whitehead, who I don't remember ever playing for the Warriors, had 19 points and 11 rebounds. Larry Smith, Mr. Mean, was the center, 10 points and 15 rebounds. He had 9 on the offensive glass. The bench for the Warriors, boy, I don't remember any of these guys. Mickey Johnson, Othello, I was a Jazz fan. My dad was in business in Utah, so I was a big Jazz fan. But this is the team that I grew up against. Mickey Johnson, Othell Wilson, Steve Burritt, Peter Thibault, Mike Bratz, who went to Stanford, and Chuck Alexinus. I don't even know who these guys are. 4,918 went to that game. The attendance was 4,918. Wow. That is your Tuesday time travel. I'm actually going to take one November. Oh, wait, what was it? December 4, Utah Jazz, Golden State Warriors, 1984. Let's see if anything else comes up on the Google search. Basketball reference comes up. NBA stats, box score. I don't think we're going to... I'm going to see if I get any news. I don't think I'm going to find a beat... Nothing. Nothing comes up. That's the Google search. I'd have to find a way to search that better. I wonder if there's any story about the Jazz comeback. But no. Don't seem to be finding anything, and I've never heard of half those players. So there you go. There is our Tuesday time travel. The Jazz would then play the 6th of December, so tomorrow, against the Seattle Supersonics. That first game, by the way, with the 4,900 and people, I think was in Oakland. I think the Jazz came back to win that game in Oakland. Right? That's the attendance number I gave you was, yes, in Oakland. The Jazz next game, December 6th, they went to Seattle. No, they came home and had a 9,000 people watch them when they took on the Ricky Sobers, Danny Vrains, Gerald Henderson, Tom Chambers, Jack Sikma Sonics, and got waxed in that game, losing to the Sonics 106-99. So they were 10-11 at this point in the season. Thurl led the team in scoring that night with 18. That is today's edition of Locked On Jazz. Sorry, they're a little longer than we are planning right now, but there's a lot of stuff out there. 40 minutes. Woo! I never shut up. All right, let's go. Jazz Thunder tonight. On the floor, we'll start at 5 with Ron Boone. Have a great one.